It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Currently on display in the lobby of the City-County Building downtown is the exhibit A History of Film, a tribute to the contributions of African Americans in film. The exhibit honors actors, writers, producers, and directors with ties to Pittsburgh. One of the talented people featured is our guest, writer, producer, and director, Najah Young, who was honored at the opening reception of the exhibit. Her film, Blood First, was shot here in Pittsburgh in 2014. Najah Young, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations on being honored by the city at the History of Film exhibit. Talk about what it means to you to be honored in this way.
It's overwhelming, actually. It feels great, but it's almost like you don't know how to accept that kind of accolade because all you really set out to do is just do the work. You come in, you hope people like it. You hope that someone enjoys it. And beyond that, you kind of move to the next project. As a filmmaker, we're constantly looking for funding. We're constantly writing. We're constantly out there beating the bushes, so to speak. So when someone from your hometown taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, we want to recognize you for your accomplishments, it's sort of like, accomplishment? What accomplishment? What did I do that was so special? But thank you very much, and I graciously accept. So it's hopefully the first of many accolades to come in my career as a filmmaker, and this is certainly will probably be one of the sweetest.
How did you get into making films? How did that start for you?
I always had an overactive imagination, even as a child. And it was really encouraged by my parents. My mother is a wonderful singer and composer, Yetunde Young. And my father was like the straight man of the family, so to speak. You know, he worked at Ford all my life. He retired from Ford. Most people don't know, however, he was a great ceramic artist. And they just sort of like, okay, that's what you want to do. I was the kid who always, even as a child, I loved independent film and foreign film. So my dad, I grew up part of the time in Cleveland, Ohio. My dad would take me to Cedar Lee Theater, and I would go see, like, the Talking Heads movie, their concert movie with David Byrne. I asked to go see that at, like, 10 years old. And my dad was like, I dig it. Let's go. And so,
well, that's good for you that you had parents who were willing to indulge your interests.
Yeah, and that's really what it was. And I loved movies. I loved fantasy type films like Legend and Willow and stuff like that. And my parents made sure that I had a very diverse film kind of education, if you will, with films by Usman Simbene from West Africa, Sankofa by Haile Jerima, and things like that. And when I told her that, you know, I think I want to do this as a career, my parents were both like, I think you should do it. So I started taking classes after I graduated from Chatham College at Pittsburgh Filmmakers. And from there, a few years after that, I was accepted into Florida State University's Graduate Conservatory of Motion Picture, Television, and Recording Arts. So from there, it's kind of been like, once I decided this is what I wanted to do, it was hard to do anything else. And I thoroughly enjoy it.
So you end up going to the Homewood Larimer neighborhood. Not a lot of films being made there, but definitely, clearly you had the sense that there was a story that you wanted to tell. So talk about the germination of that.
I have to give credit where credit is due. My younger brother, Olufemi Young, actually came up with the concept of the film. And when people know that you went to film school, you make movies, you all this stuff, people pitch you ideas all the time. In the street, at the bar, in the most inopportune times when you're just like, I'm at the library, I'm reading a book. Thank you. How do I know you again? But okay. But my youngest brother, he was like, I'm telling you, this is a great idea. He was incarcerated for some time. He met people from all over the country, and he heard a lot of different things. And he was just like, I've been working on this idea, and tell me what you think. So when he pitched Blood First to me, I was intrigued, but I knew that I was like, I don't want to make a typical hood movie, if you will, or gangster film. And so he and I massaged the idea a little bit more. And then I went to my own kind of corner and wrote the script out and did a couple drafts of the script. And
what did he come to you with, and how did you change it?
Well, he came to me with about a story about two brothers in the dangerous drug trade who grew up in Homewood, because we primarily grew up in Homewood. And he wanted to do something about betrayal and how people shouldn't betray one another. Basically, stop snitching. This kind of idea of no snitching and things like that. Like, if you are a member of that lifestyle, that's kind of like an oath you take. Like, you don't tell on the other criminal because you're also a criminal, that sort of thing.
And if you do, it's the worst thing you can do.
And if you do, it's the worst thing you can do. Now, in our conversations, he was saying to me, like, it's not the same. He was like, you're a civilian, very clearly. So if you tell on someone, you're supposed to. You know, like, you're a civilian, you're not a part of this lifestyle. But if you are a part of this sort of gangster lifestyle, then you don't do something like that. And so I was like, I hear what you're saying, but I need to go deeper. I kind of want to explore how someone arrives at this ethos. How do you get to this sort of, how does this become your lifestyle? How does this become your ethical sort of or moral compass? And he said, he was like, okay. And so I started thinking about families and relationships between men and boys and their fathers. And so I wanted to explore that in the film, and that's what I did. I explored how a lot of young men in inner city neighborhoods become entrenched in crime, violence, and later incarceration. And we all know that if a parent is incarcerated, the likelihood of you becoming incarcerated is increased manyfold. So that's what I did with the characters, and I started telling the story from that perspective. Young men following in their father's footsteps because they idolized their father. And even though the father was saying, you know, I didn't choose this life for you, you did, he still never told them to stop what they were doing. It was like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, you're going to be the best at it. And this is how you're going to do it. When I spoke at Kappa yesterday, I was telling the students, you know, in my experience, people, regardless of race, if you will, they raise their daughters and they let their sons raise themselves. It's like, you're 15 years old? Go, have at it, run the world. Whereas with our daughters, we're very much like, this is the path, this is what you're gonna do, you're gonna do these things. And with young men, not so much. It's about sowing your wild oats. It's about finding your own way. And instead of guiding them, having a guiding hand the whole way through.
So how did being in Homewood and Larimer help you tell that story?
I feel like, you know, even though Blood First is a work of fiction, there are elements of that film that I saw every day growing up in Homewood and in the Lincoln-Larimer area, anywhere on the East End. I saw that every day. I knew people who grew up like that, so to speak. I didn't want to make a film about New York because I'm not from New York. I didn't want to make a film. I lived in L.A., but I'm not from L.A., so I can tell you about their inner city neighborhoods or whatever, but I'm not from there. Homewood, Pittsburgh in and of itself, has a very unique sort of culture and vibe. And I couldn't think of a better place to film other than Homewood, where I knew I would get the support from the local residents, where I knew people were hungry to do something different and to see themselves on screen. And it was an amazing experience. I don't regret it. I actually look forward to filming more things here. I think people should, if you're going to use Pittsburgh and shoot Pittsburgh, I think it should be Pittsburgh. Don't come here and shoot Pittsburgh for New York or shoot Pittsburgh for LA and all those things. Pittsburgh is a great city with great stories. Shoot Pittsburgh for Pittsburgh. And that's what we did.
So what kind of a reaction did you get from people who were involved with the film and people who just saw the film?
The reaction has been great. It's always amazing to me when people come up to me and tell me things that I didn't even like sort of recognize in the film. The reaction's been overwhelmingly positive. There are people who were like, you know, it's just too violent for me. And comparatively speaking, my film is not as violent as many other films about this subject matter. However, I totally understand that. And usually I tell them, you weren't my target audience. My target audience is young adults, primarily from the ages of about 13 to about 27 years old.
How do they react?
They love it. They love it. They love the music. They identify with the young people in the film. And they ask really great questions about the morality of the characters. You can't discount the youth. They're paying attention even when you think they aren't. And I tried to make the film multi-layered so that, you know, if you're thinking on a deeper, higher level, then there's something here you can kind of glean from the film. And if you just want to be entertained, you just want to see a quote-unquote hood movie, you know, with people from Homewood or people who look like you, then, yeah, this is a film for you as well. And when I was like, okay, I'm good, and whatever, however you take it, I'm fine. And young adults have been coming up to me and they're like, talk to me about the relationship between, and his father, Rahman, and why would his father say that to him? And I was like, you were paying attention to that? You caught that? Wait, how old are you again? They're like, 15. I'm like, awesome. So I feel like I've kind of done my job. I could put a message in there, but not like make it so on the nose. So I felt pretty good about that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Pittsburgh filmmaker Najah Young. She's from Pittsburgh, now lives in Atlanta. And I'm curious, as an African-American filmmaker, of course, there's been a lot of talk about the diversity at the Academy Awards. What perspective on this would you like to share with us about the way that African-American filmmakers are recognized by the Hollywood establishment? And what, if anything, you think needs to be done to change that?
You know, I think that I think diversity is very important. I think there are a lot of stories out there that have been told, that are being told, and will be told. Whether or not Hollywood recognizes those stories, and by Hollywood, the Academy Awards, I'm sort of like, you know what? I don't need your recognition to do what I need to do as an artist and to tell the stories I need to tell. Great if you recognize me. Bravo, who doesn't want a golden statuette in their home? However, it's neither required nor desired for me to do what I need to do. I'm not looking for your approval. I'm not looking for your validation. I think, I respect Jada Pinkett Smith and her husband Will Smith and Spike Lee for boycotting and taking a stand, because they're right. We need to recognize more than one voice as being valid, as being important. However, how is this year different from any other year? Not that different. It's really not that different. And it's larger than just black and white.
No, I see what you're saying, but at the same time, oddly, I mean, you go back 50 years, and there's Sidney Poitier getting a Best Actor Oscar. I mean, it's happened, and for whatever reason, Will Smith was overlooked. You know, anybody that I think has seen the film Concussion would largely agree that that was a pretty powerful performance that, at the very least, you would think would have gotten a nomination for Best Actor. So
look at the body of the Academy, though. Who makes up the body of the Academy? Largely older white men. And the inside joke, at least what I've been told, is that you know who votes for the Academy? The housekeepers. I mean, because most of them won't sit and watch all of the screeners that they receive. I mean, really? Well, they don't sit. And I'm not.
No, we hear these stories. So
right. And I'm not making light of Will Smith's performance, which I'm sure was wonderful, filmed here in Pittsburgh, you know. But it's unfortunate. But as a woman, And as an African-American woman in this industry, I really don't expect more of them. I don't. I think diversity is extremely important. I do think they need to get their act together. And I think that placing an African-American woman as the president of the Academy is one step, but she's not the only voting member. So you need to get, we need to diversify the voting body of the Academy so that other films and other types of voices are being recognized. But while they're getting their stuff together, they're not going to stop me from doing what I need to do, and they're not going to determine the types of stories I'm going to tell. How many times have I watched a film and I've looked at it and I'm like, okay, this is clearly an Oscar nod, like trying to get an Oscar nod. The film is just sort of rote to me. There's nothing exciting about
that, that can stifle your creativity.
Yeah, when you're trying to make a film just to get an Oscar or just to get accolade from someone else, it's stifling because I can't please everyone. And I shouldn't spend my time trying to read people's minds and think, I wonder what kind of film you like. Okay, I'm going to do a film that I think white men between the ages of 35 to 45 are going to find exciting and interesting. So I'm going to put in one car explosion and at least one love interest. She's going to be unbelievably hot, someone that he would never get to talk to in real life. And I'm going, you know, it's kind of paint by numbers filmmaking. And there is when I teach classes, I do say, you know, it is show business. It is a business. And so pretty much, yeah, they're going to say we need this, 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 and this. And this is what this film is lacking. But for me as an artist, I can't create like that. I don't create like that. I'm just much more organic. I go with my heart. And I feel like the first responsibility I have as an artist is to please myself. And if everyone else likes it, that's a beautiful thing. But let me please myself as an artist before I go out here and try to please all these people with varying opinions.
So are you planning to shoot some more films in Pittsburgh?
Yes, definitely. I'm in constant contact with most of the actors who were in the film, Blood First. And we have some ideas about a film that takes place here in Pittsburgh and also abroad in Namibia. And so that's something that we're working on. It's pretty exciting. And besides that, I have some other projects that I'm working on right now that are in pre-production about one is in post-production, American Africans, about African Americans reclaiming African spirituality in the United States and looking at the genesis of that movement. And I have another kind of TV series I'm working on about the afterlife. So,
sounds interesting.
Thank you.
We have been talking with writer, producer, director, and Pittsburgh native Najah Young. Her most recent film is Blood First, shot here in Pittsburgh in 2014, available on online platforms if you want to check it out. And she was honored as part of the exhibit, A History of Film, a tribute to the contributions of African Americans in film, currently on display at the City County Building downtown. Najah Young, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And more Essential Pittsburgh coming up. This is 90.5 WESA.